You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Hello and welcome. Just last week, Civil Aviation Minister Hardeep Singh Puri announced in the Rajya Sabha that the central government remains committed to privatizing debt-laden national carrier Air India. Puri said Air India was incurring losses of 15 crore rupees per day and therefore the government was attempting to make the carrier more viable, revive it, and then disinvest. Air India's disinvestment is an old and tedious tale because I'm certain you're getting deja vu. We've spoken about it a lot. India's national airline was first referred for disinvestment or divestment back in 1998. It's a 21-year-old tale. Governments and coalitions have come and gone, but Air India continues to persist despite all of them. The white elephant continues to roll on. On this edition of Digging Deeper, we are revisiting the Air India disinvestment saga and looking at what the Modi government has in store for what had become an intractable problem for previous administrations. A suitor for the Maharaja. An update on the Air India disinvestment process is what I bring to you on this episode of Digging Deeper. My name is Rakesh Sharma and you're listening to Money Control,
the Deep Dive podcast series.
Let's start with why disinvest at all. Air India paid an interest of 4,155.68 crore rupees, that's the interest, on its 2017-2018 debt of 55,305.82 crore rupees at the end of March. The airline's consolidated net loss was 5,761.02 crores, which followed a loss of 7,034.18 crore rupees in the previous year. These operations are unsustainable, even more so because the government is hard-pressed to fund its several social welfare schemes. Air India, by the way, was first referred to the Disinvestment Commission headed by G.V. Ramakrishna in 1998, when the airline's problems were significantly smaller in magnitude. 20 years ago, its problems were still fairly fixable. According to analysts, a capital infusion of 1,000 crore rupees and induction of a strategic partner through global bids, followed by a public offering, could have turned the tide back then. That was, of course, in the days when Air India was the international airline and Indian Airlines enjoyed a domestic near monopoly. Sometime later, the less than profitable, or as some would say, disastrous merger of Air India and Indian Airlines only served to damage its already unimpressive finances and further adversely impact staff morale. The Disinvestment Commission then recommended the sale of Centaur Hotels at Mumbai and Delhi, owned by Air India's subsidiary, Hotel Corporation of India, that is HCIL, by separating them from the parent company. This was quickly accepted by the NDA regime, followed by controversial divestments in 2002, which realized a mere pittance of the real value of these valuable properties. Why do I say that? Well, the Airport Centaur in Mumbai was a prized property right beside the Mumbai airport, which reportedly went for just 83 crore rupees, a fair way below the base value of 92 crore rupees fixed by JP Morgan. Interestingly, 4 months after that sale, the buyer reportedly sold the hotel for 115 crore rupees. The Juhu Centaur was a 6-acre asset in one of Mumbai's poshest suburbs, which went for 153 crore rupees but got repeated payment extensions. 15 years later, an asset reconstruction company put it up for sale at a reserve price of, get this, 1,315 crore rupees after the loans extended by public sector banks for the acquisition turned bad. You might know of this Centaur if you followed glossy film magazines from the 80s and 90s. This hotel used to be a favorite to do photo shoots. Now that, the case of the Centaur Hotels, was just one example of the meandering Air India disinvestment saga. The airline owns prime properties around the world and will need to liquidate some, if not all, of these properties to reduce its massive debt burden of 59,000 crore rupees. As of 2017, around 22,000 crores of the total debt account for aircraft acquisition loan, while the rest is related to debt for meeting daily and operational expenses. Air India Chairman and Managing Director Ashwini Lohani said that the mountain of debt which the present management acquired appears insurmountable and is at the root of all the problems of Air India. Air India has also been making losses for over a decade and is living off a 30,231 crore rupee bailout sanctioned by the UPA government in 2012. Nearly 24,000 crore rupees of that bailout has been dispersed already. Its market share, in fact, Air India's that is, has shrunk to 12.2% of the domestic traffic and 18.6% of the traffic from India abroad. Said another way, Air India is bleeding continuously, and common sense says the government should hand it over to private corporations to ensure no more taxpayer money is burnt. But that is easier said than done. The government has to face another problem with this ploy as well. And what is the problem? Lack of interest from prospective buyers. Or in other words, there are no suitors for the Maharaja. The question we are therefore asking is, where are the buyers? On the 31st of March 2018, which was the deadline for submitting expressions of interest or EOI for Air India, ran out, but there were no bidders. The government's terms, including the controversial retention of a 24% stake, are likely to have deterred the prospective buyers. In June 2017, shortly after the centre announced its intention to divest, unsolicited interest poured in from airlines such as Indigo and various ground handling firms, both domestic and international, for specific pieces of the flag carrier. On the 28th of March this year, the government came out with a preliminary document seeking bids. In the days that followed, the government received over 160 queries from various parties seeking clarifications about the disinvestment process. But after that flurry of activity, the government announced on the 31st of May that at the end of the deadline, it had received no bids from any equity to acquire 76% stake in Air India. And that might have been the problem. It is the 24% retaining of Air India by the government that may be at the root of all of this. While the 33,000 crore rupee debt that was to be bundled with the airline was initially seen as a huge hurdle, analysts are claiming it was the government's decision to retain the 24% stake that ultimately proved to be the deciding factor. In clarifications sought by interested bidders, as many as 11 questions pertained to the government retaining this minority stake. Looking back, what had generated a lot of buzz was the possibility of the airline being broken up for sale. In its letter to the government a day after the Union Cabinet granted in-principle approval for strategic disinvestment, Indigo said it would be interested in the international operations of Air India and Air India Express. But a week after Air India's preliminary information document was published, Indigo announced it was pulling out of the race because the government's plans for disinvestment did not suit its own and that it didn't, quote, have the capability to take on the task of acquiring and successfully turning around all of Air India's airline operations, unquote. Soon after, Jet Airways, the biggest full-service carrier at the time, oh, those were the days, also said it wouldn't participate in the bidding. Another reason was the size of the airline. Like I said earlier, it is a huge white elephant. AI, that is Air India, has the largest number of employees per aircraft among all airlines in India. As per the preliminary information memorandum, Air India had 26,978 employees, that is including permanent, contractual, casual and on-deputation staff for a fleet of 115 aircraft. That is 234 employees per aircraft. In comparison, as of the 31st of March 2017, Indigo had 111 employees per aircraft for its fleet of 131 planes, Jet Airways had 142 for a fleet of 112 aircraft, and SpiceJet had 140 for 49 planes. The employees per aircraft ratio is a key metric used in the industry to identify the operational efficiency of an airline. Eventual reduction of contractual employees was one of the measures to be undertaken by Air India as part of its turnaround plan. So, those were the plans that were initially drafted, but several of them went awry. The reason why there were no buyers was perhaps the government's insistence on the 24% stake retention in Air India, as well as, of course, the fact that Air India is just too bulky. The reason I'm doing this story today is because, well, there has been some movement. What's going on now? In 2019, the Modi government has once again reiterated its stand on disinvestment. As I said earlier, Civil Aviation Minister Hardeep Singh Puri told the Rajya Sabha, and I quote, "Our plan is to revive Air India, make it more operationally viable, and then to disinvest it." So far as Air India is concerned, the government is committed to the privatization of Air India. Let there be no ambiguity on that, unquote. He said the costing and overall calculations of an airline depend on a large number of factors, including external factors like closure of Pakistan airspace, but should end the current year in profit, after which it will be disinvested. He explained, and I quote, "There has been a steady improvement in Air India's finances. It has been my expectation that in the current financial year, we are hoping to make profits. But the year that has concluded, the figure shall show a loss," unquote. He said there is an overall debt of 59,000 crore rupees, and there was a proposal to retire 29,000 crore rupees into a special purpose vehicle when an attempt was made to privatize Air India. The Economic Times reported in May that the government plans to raise up to 10,000 crore rupees by selling the subsidiaries of Air India and other assets to repay a part of 29,000 crore debt. Puri added that Air India also has a shortage of 20 aircraft on account of certain cost-cutting measures, and the airline hopes to bring 17 to 20 aircraft back into operation by October. CNBC TV 18 had reported that with Air India's divestment on the cards again now, the government claimed it would look at further liberalizing the foreign direct investment norms in aviation. This comes at a time when the centre is expected to float the preliminary information memorandum for divestment of Air India with lucrative terms of conditions, so sweetening the deal again. Civil Aviation Secretary R.N. Chaubey said at a press conference on the 29th of June, just a few days ago, that government think tank Niti Aayog's recommendation on strategic disinvestment of central public sector units, including Air India, was the immediate trigger for its stake sale. As per existing rules, foreign airlines can invest up to 49% of their paid-up capital in Indian airlines. Now, to put it more technically, foreign airlines were allowed to invest under the government approval route in the capital of Indian companies operating scheduled and non-scheduled air transport services, up to 49% of their paid-up capital. But that provision was not applicable to Air India, thereby implying that foreign airlines could not invest in Air India. With the disinvestment going not so great, the NDA government in January 2018 decided to do away with such restrictions and allow foreign airlines to invest up to 49% under approval route in Air India, subject to conditions. Now, more movement. In her budget speech on the 5th of July, Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman had stated that the government is committed to strategic disinvestment of select PSUs. She clarified, and I quote, "In view of current macroeconomic parameters, the government would not only reinitiate the process of strategic disinvestment of Air India, but would offer more CPSEs for strategic participation by the private sector," unquote. In fact, the centre's target for disinvestment receipts was increased to 1 lakh crore rupees for FY20 from 90,000 crore rupees in the interim budget presented in February. Now let's explore the government's renewed interest in the divestment process. A major indicator of what the government is planning is the budgetary backing for Air India. The centre allocated, by the way, a meager 1 lakh rupees, 100,000 rupees, as extra budgetary support for the debt-laden carrier, which sits on an accumulated loss of about 59,000 crore rupees. The extra budgetary support was 1 lakh rupees. It's not enough to feed 20 people at Indian accent, let alone help Air India in any feasible way. According to the budget document, equity backing for the airline dropped by 99.99% to 1 lakh rupees. I was going to say 1 lakh crore rupees. 1 lakh rupees against budgetary support of 3,975 crore rupees during FY19. There is opposition to the divestment from expected quarters. Money Control reported that more than a dozen unions of Air India came out strongly against the government's second bid to sell the national carrier. After the budget announcement on the 5th of July, Chairman Ashwini Lohani called a meeting of all the 13 unions of the airline on the 8th of July to discuss the privatization plan. And the unions are sticking to their guns on this issue. During the meeting, union representatives told the management that they were ready to do anything to turn around the carrier, but would not accept privatization at any cost. One source told Money Control, and I quote, "The unions have asked for the payment of all pending arrears first before considering anything. Moreover, they've also asked for protection of all post-retirement benefits of employees. Unquote. The unions have consistently opposed all bids to sell Air India, claiming that privatization is not the answer. They point to the demise of Kingfisher and Jet Airways in this regard. In fact, as many as six airlines, all private, including Jet Airways, Air Pegasus, Air Odisha, and Air Costa, have shut shop between 2014 and April 2019 for various reasons. However, Othonu Chakraborty, Secretary, Department of Investment and Public Asset Management, or DIPAM, told Businessline, and I quote, "The timeline for the strategic disinvestment in Air India is immediate, and we're preparing for reinitiating the process, papers and documents. Everything requires the final audited accounts of the latest year, and that would come by the middle of July. So thereafter, within 15 to 20 days, you can expect the expression of interest to be issued." Unquote. He also addressed the issue of the government retaining a stake in the airline. This time, he said, and I quote, "One goes by the sentiment of the buyers. The government per se, having decided to completely disinvest from Air India, gives the message fairly loud and clear. We do not want to have any say in the management. Initially, the feeling was that a lot of buyers will be keen towards government retaining certain equity so they can be seen through the transition phase. However, if the larger sentiment of the buyers is towards not having any government stake and buy it fully, I guess Air India's specific alternative mechanism, that is AISAM, will take the final call." Unquote. Kinjal Shah, who is vice president and co-head of corporate sector ratings at ICRA, also told Businessline that he felt the proposal to increase FDI, that is foreign direct investment in aviation, and steps to develop India as a hub for aircraft financing and leasing activities are positives, because these will provide access to much-needed capital. 2 days ago, Business Standard reported that the government shortlisted potential bidders with the Tata Group on top for its interest in aviation. The Tata Group keeps coming up, even in the jet story. The report on Business Standard also claimed that 95% of Air India will be up for sale, while the centre will retain only 5% for the employee stock option. This would mark the first time the government will relax rules for strategic disinvestment meant to prevent asset stripping. The relaxation of the rules was proposed by transaction advisor Ernst & Young as multiple entities during the last sale process in 2017 had objected, saying it restricted the bidder from raising capital from the market and developing synergy with existing businesses. The center is also pursuing the option of selling the airline's subsidiaries before the airline itself in order to deal with the outstanding debt of around 27,000 crore rupees. So there you go. If you listen to the DIPAM secretary, expressions of interest could be out in just a few days. And after that, will there be interest this time around? Will there be interested parties for the Swayam Vadhu of Mr. Maharaja? We'll, of course, keep you updated. In the meanwhile, do write into us, mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until the next time you hear from me, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us and do stay with us on moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.